And joining us now is Congressman Mike Pompeo. Mike, welcome back.
It's great to be with you this morning, Brian.
Congressman, what should we take away from what you guys were able to discover through your investigation?
So you'll see, and I wrote a separate report along with Representative Jordan that details this very clearly, is that at every turn, Secretary Clinton put politics ahead of people. That night, when we had Americans who were under attack in Benghazi, Libya, not a single aircraft moved in that direction during the attack. Not a single wheel began to turn towards Benghazi, Libya, while mortars were falling. The situation in Washington, D.C. was so radically different than the absolute terror that the 30-plus Americans were experiencing in the annex. There's always been this question about could we have gotten an aircraft there quickly enough to have saved them. We now know the facts. They never tried.
They never tried, but would there have been – you should always make the effort, but was there anybody close?
We'll never know the answer to whether they could have gotten there quickly enough, Brian. We can't answer that question. What we can say is we can lay out the timeline, which we did, and we can now demonstrate that at no time was there ever an aircraft even ordered to go armed into Benghazi, Libya, at no time during the attack. So whether they could have gotten there enough, we may never know the answer, but we can be sure that if it was your son or daughter or family member, you would look at that and find that the failure in leadership right. was morally reprehensible.
So, Mike, you say, Congressman, you also say that this is something I did not know, and it was the fact that Ben Rose, the Deputy National Security Director for Strategic Communications, who was meeting with David Plouffe that night, was the one who prepped Rice for her national appearances, claiming the video was responsible for the terrorist attack, and Rice said her statements were based on the best available information. There's no way they had the best available information.
Brian, the statement that they were that her statements on the Sunday shows were based on the best information available is completely false. Secretary Clinton herself knew that this was a terror attack within hours of the events unfolding. She chose not to go on the Sunday shows. Instead, she threw then Ambassador Rice under the bus and gave her two political hacks to brief her. There's nobody from the FBI. There was nobody from the CIA. There was no one from the Department of Defense to help Secretary Rice get ready for the Sunday morning shows. It was just David Plouffe and Ben Rhodes, the famous fiction writer.
Right, who has a tremendous amount of power. Here is Susan Rice, September 16, 2012, on Fox News Sunday.
What sparked the recent violence was the airing on the internet of a very hateful, very offensive video that has offended many people around the world.
That was a lie? Did she know she was not telling the truth?
Yes, she did. And you don't have to take my word for it. Just take hers. She was telling one story privately and one story publicly for days and days after the event. Every single eyewitness on the ground, Brian, who reported that night, talked about a terror attack. There was no mention of a YouTube video from the people who knew best. The folks in Tripoli and Benghazi who were on the ground experiencing that terror knew what this was. They communicated that back to the United States government at the most senior levels. And in spite of that, in an effort to protect their foreign policy legacy, they put politics ahead of the people and told a story that was very different from what was known to be the truth at the time.
Well, the report interviewed more than 80 witnesses previously not called before Congress. That includes Admiral Mullins and General Pickering.
It includes there's 80 plus folks, including the most senior people, save for the president. We interviewed Secretary of State Clinton, Secretary of Defense Panetta, Director of the CIA Petraeus. There were still a handful of witnesses we were unable to speak with, but I believe we now have a very complete picture of what happened that evening.
So we also know, too, that Hillary Clinton, in an email provided to the Select Committee, told daughter Chelsea two of our officers were killed in Benghazi by an al-Qaeda-like group. When did she write that as opposed to when she told the families it was the video?
So that email went out late on the evening, or it might have been the early morning hours. Between September 11th and September 12th, 2012. She told the families the same story about the YouTube videos when the bodies were returned to the United States. She knew differently. She knew very clearly this was a terror attack and yet continued to tell this story. Remember, Brian, 56 days to the presidential election, and the story that the president was telling, along with Secretary Clinton, was that Osama bin Laden was dead and GM was alive. They had an important story to tell, to make sure that America didn't find out that, in fact, the tide of war was not receding and the threat from radical Islamic terrorism was continuing and real, and they had failed to solve it.
Now, you do say in the GOP report that is out today, and this is Congressman Pompeo is going over what he was able to discover, along with led by Trey Gowdy, that even though there were multiple requests for more security into Benghazi and into Libya, there's no proof that the Secretary of State ever denied any additional protection, correct?
That's right. She never denied any additional protection. At least the evidence we've obtained to date doesn't show that. But, Brian, that's not enough for a leader. In August 2012, a senior State Department official wrote a memo to her, not to a security person, but to her, Beth Jones, wrote this memo and said that it is a lawless situation. There were those that knew that this was a suicide mission and had reported that. The Secretary of State never did what leaders do, to ask the hard questions to ensure that the people she put in harm's way would not have what happened to them that night actually happen. She had a task that goes beyond these details about a particular security mechanism or tool, but rather to make a decision about whether she ought to use her last clear chance to save those Americans. But she couldn't do it, Brian. She couldn't let us pull out of Benghazi, Libya, because that would have put lie to the fact that our success in toppling Gaddafi was really a success.
Which we know it wasn't, because we had no post-game plan. Not even a bad plan. We had no plan.
Indeed, the president says it's his biggest foreign policy failure.
Let's agree. Right?
The president has said that the failure to have a plan for a post-Gaddafi Libya is his biggest foreign policy failure in his time in office. I wish that Secretary Clinton would come to that same conclusion as well. So, and I wish they had done so years ago.
So the White House has a deputy press secretary. His name is Eric Schultz. And they were asked, he was asked about this yesterday. And he says, you guys, you just should focus on something you could do something about and be proactive. And that's guns. Cut 26.
Given all of the other priorities pending right now before Congress, common sense measures to combat gun violence, maybe they should get to work on something they can have actual impact on.
So why are you focusing on this? You should have to do something you can have an impact on.
Boy, that statement is as relentless as it is foolish. We can have an impact here. We actually provided a series of recommendations to ensure that something like this never happens again. But it's incredibly important, I promise you, that the families of the four who were slain that night, in fact, the families of all the folks who were in that place, want to understand the facts about how it came to be that we had a U.S. facility overrun in Benghazi, Libya. We spent a year and a half doing our best to overcome enormous stonewalling from the administration. And I believe we have delivered a report that is fact-based and important for the American people.
I want you to hear Congressman Trey Gowdy a short time ago on another channel. I think it was with Morning Joe. Cut 23.
Well, I'm not saying they didn't want to do anything. I'm saying that our response was slowed because of an obsession with hurting the Libyans' feelings. And of the 10 action items that came out of that civets, half of them dealt with the video. Half of them, including directing Secretary Panetta to call YouTube.
Right.
Now, this is a guy who should have been calling to make sure his orders were being followed, and he's being asked to call YouTube.
Can you expand on that?
Chairman Gowdy is referring to a meeting that took place around 7 o'clock, 7:30 Washington time, so a handful of hours after the attack began, the Secretary Clinton was part of, where they spent almost 2 hours talking about whether our soldiers should go into Libya in uniform or not in uniform. In fact, our soldiers changed in and out of uniform three times. They were talking about a YouTube video. They were talking about whether we would hurt the Libyan government's feelings. They would feel like it was an invasion. All of this while not a single aircraft is moving towards Benghazi, Libya to save these folks. They were worried about politics and feelings and not about security of the folks who were on the ground there.
And why isn't that worthy of your time? Congressman, how do we get your take on this along with Congressman Jordan's?
Yes, sir. You can go to, your listeners can go to Pompeo. That's P-O-M-P-E-O. .house.gov. Pompeo.house.gov. The report is posted there now.
All right, Congressman. Thanks so much. And
thank
I look
you,
forward to reading the rest of the report.
Thank you, sir.